right, so just what? Clap like 3 times?
Yeah. Spring.
All right, cool. I'm definitely excited for this one because out of all the guests I've had, I've known them not for too long, but I've seen them every single day. You see what I'm saying? So with you, I've known you probably the longest out of all the guests I've had. So I'm kind of excited to catch up, get into the story, put people on game because you're doing some pretty cool stuff. So let me give you a little intro and then fill the gaps because I'm just trying to get into everything.
Sounds good, man.
So joining me in the studio, I got an overall creative, whether that be photography, videography, storytelling, things of that nature. Started filming football games in his junior year of high school. Fast forward to now, he's worked for the NFL, MLB, various schools and organizations, multiple high-level athletes. Founder of Sharp Sharp Media. From the Not My Son group chat to becoming the man that anybody would claim as their offspring, Bailey Spore. Welcome to the Your Choice Podcast.
What's up, bro? Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. And I probably should explain the Not My Son joint. What was that? I think AP Environmental Science, something
Mr.
like that.
Sunkle.
Yes, sir. And like every time he would say, he would be telling us what to do, but he's like, oh, you're not my son, so I can't tell you. And then I think that was just a running joke. And we just carried that through.
Mr. Sunkle, I wonder if he's still teaching there, man.
Probably. Have you gone? Oh, you said you go back for football games.
I have. I went back for a football game not that long ago, but like I didn't go in the school. Right? I haven't like seen it. I ran into a couple teachers, but not like. I have no idea.
They recognize you?
Honestly, yeah, a bunch of them did. But honestly, bro, he totally is.
Like,
Teaching there for 175 years. Why would he not still be?
Yeah, I'm saying. But yeah, I wanted to get straight into things from my perspective. So I made an Instagram account maybe fall or something, right? And first thing, you know, you make an Instagram, your thing's dead. You got no followers. No one's like looking at your joint. So I'm thinking, who are all the people from high school? I started just looking up names. I pull up Bailey Spore. I see a blue tick. Oh, maybe he bought that joint. Then I see the followers. I'm like, yo, hold on. Then I see the pictures, and I'm like, yo, this guy's actually doing something. So how did we get here? Because I do remember from journalism and also just from little clips on, like, Twitter, like, you were getting into photography towards, like, what, 2017, 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how did we get from, you know, that point of time to like right now?
So honestly, I've kind of always been into like video stuff. Like I remember like in middle school, I would always make videos, and I've always just kind of had like cameras. Like when I just looked through a bunch of old family videos recently, and like I found all these, like there's been a camera in my face since I was like a baby.
Fair.
So I think it's kind of just something that's been like drilled into my head. But like as I got into like high school and, you know, 2017, 2018, it was like junior year, maybe sophomore, junior year. I took a trip to Italy, actually.
Okay.
I made a bunch of videos on my phone. And I thought like they were the coolest thing ever. And they're terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
Looking back,
they're still
on
archived on my YouTube to this day. Nobody can see them anymore because they're just awful. But I'm not going to delete them because they're cool videos.
Nah, yeah, it's all part of the culture.
I went to Italy, man. It was sweet.
Yeah, I'm saying, but
then I got back and I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should like get a camera and actually like start trying with this. Mm-hmm. So I did. And you remember Xander McClure?
Yeah.
So it was him. He would ask me to come out to the football games all the time. And he's heard this story 1,000 times, but so many times. And I would, to him, I'd just be like, yeah, bro, like maybe I'll try to make it out to him. But to me, I'm thinking like, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, everybody does that. Why would I want to go out and shoot these football games?
Mm-hmm.
So I just would kind of put it off. But he kept bugging me about it, so I'm like, fine, I'm not doing anything this night, let me go. And it was like an insane game, and everybody loved the video. I had a bunch of fun, so I just kept doing it. And eventually, that just continued to grow. So, like, obviously, we didn't have a graduation, like, COVID happened, and then no sports and everything. So after that, I didn't really shoot anything for a while. And once sports kind of started to happen again, I was like, you know what if I, like, started actually trying with this again. I went to a Linganore game again. It was Linganore versus Oakdale.
Okay.
It was like, I don't know, a year or two after we graduated. And it was like the craziest game I've seen in my life. Like, I think Linganore won on like an interception in the end zone in overtime. It was like 55-54.
Dang.
To this day, I still haven't seen a game as crazy as it. But like, after that, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm seriously getting back into this. So I started going all around the area and shooting schools all over the place, private schools, and just like the best teams I could. Everywhere I knew I needed to make connections, I could make connections, I would just go to.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I ended up landing a job with the NFL, and literally like 4 days later, the MLB. It was like crazy week. And so, yeah, then I've just kind of built my connections out through there.
Mm. And in terms of like the time in your life when you realize that this is something I want to do, I guess based off what you just said, that you've always been into photography, creativity, things of that nature. But what was the first joint that, like, you produced or you did and you're like, yo, long term, like, this is it? Because I know for me, and this is probably not even crazy looking back on it, but the first joint that comes to my head is, I forget who he was, but Chase Maddox.
Oh, I remember
Father Stretch My Hands.
That tweet was awesome.
That edit.
Was awesome.
Bro, when you made that edit, I remember everybody was talking that for a minute. So that was the first joint where I was like, yo, Bailey's like, okay, he's doing something. But like, talk about that. And then, you know, like I said, what was the first thing that like you were like, yo,
have you ever seen that video of like Damian Lillard with the Father Stretch My Hands?
Yes,
and
yes.
I've always wanted to like make a video like that. Mm-hmm. I've never had a chance to. And when I got that shot, it was like Chase, I don't know, maybe our senior year basketball season. Chase, who was this like really good basketball. He's probably the best player on the team at the time.
Yeah.
He was like the star of the team. He gets a fast break. He's running up. And I'm like, he's running up and in frame is him. And then behind him is our entire student section. And as he jumps up, like the whole student section jumps up with him.
Yeah.
And then he slams it down. And I did the whole thing in slow-mo on this Kanye song as the beat dropped. And it was awesome. That video was, as soon as you said that, bro, I remember exactly what you were talking about. I don't know when, like, I really made something and I was like, yeah, this is something that I like really want to get into and really do. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, the thing that really made me, like, want to get a camera was the Italy trip. Because, like, I made the whole thing on my iPhone, and I was like, this could have been way cooler. And I probably had, like, a GoPro at the time, but I wasn't, like, I knew an iPhone camera was probably better than a GoPro camera at the time. And I don't know. First video I made, there was, like, a short film contest. You know Rode Microphones?
Yeah, they did, like, a
short film contest. They do it every year called, like, My Rode Reel or something like that. Me and my friend made a short film for it. And that was the first time I was like, okay, I think I definitely, like, I've always kind of been interested in movies. I've always loved movies. Like, my biggest goal is to make a movie one day. I'm going to write and direct a movie. But, like, that was the first time I, like, wrote a short film and made it. And I was like, this is sweet. Like, I definitely want to do this, like, as big as I can.
Mm-hmm. And what time was this?
That was probably senior year of high school.
Okay, fair. I remember either before that or during that time period, because I think I remember a couple of things on like Twitter, like, you know, just taking pictures of friends, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I don't really know how it all happened so quick.
Yeah.
It was like Xander, for example, asking me to come out to the football games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how he knew I had a camera or like I was doing cameras or videos or pictures. He's just like, hey, man, like, come out and take videos of this game. And I'm like, how do you even know I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just thought I was just kind of taking pictures of friends and stuff. I don't know. I don't know how it ended up being a thing, and it just all of a sudden was.
Mm-hmm. So then fast forward, like now I think in this story, we're kind of like at that COVID period, right? Obviously, first year of college, everybody's going to, you know, no one's actually going in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about off camera that you went to FCC. Talk to me about the experience that resulted in, you know, dropping out, because we just talked about that off camera, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I went to a community college when I was, like, before graduation and before COVID, I was, like, dead set on going to Towson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was getting a roommate there. I actually had a roommate, too, who this day I still haven't met, like, because I never went there.
Yeah.
We'll talk on Instagram every once in a while, but, like, we've never met each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know what changed my mind, but I just was like, you know what? I don't think I want to go to Towson. So I was like, fine, I'll just do FCC for a year because it was like so late. And then I don't know. I was doing FCC and I did a semester and it was okay. And then I don't know if I like took a break. I don't really remember too much because I didn't even care.
Yeah, fair.
But like then I started a second semester.
Okay.
And I was in like a couple classes, maybe like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And one of those classes was a film class. And I'm like, listening to this guy talk and all the stuff we're doing, and I'm like, why am I, like, paying for somebody to teach me this? Like, yeah. I've been teaching myself this and watching YouTube videos where this guy's repeating word for word for the last 5 years now. Like, why should I be in school listening to something like this? And then, like, the longer it goes on, I'm like, I show him some of my work, and he's like, oh, I don't think I can do that. So, you know, like, well, then maybe this guy shouldn't be my teacher. It was weird, too, because, like, my dad, who was always, like, oh, he always wanted me to go to school. But as soon as I started talking to him about, like, yeah, I don't really know if I like this thing. Like, I don't know if I want to do it. He's like, okay. Like, really? Thought you were going to, like, no, you have to finish all 4 years. He's like, nope.
Yeah.
Go on. Whatever. I'm like, sweet. Dropped out. didn't care. I was like, I'm gonna do this on my own. And I don't really know what, like, how it happened or like the order it happened, but okay. So we had like founded Sharp Shot kind of like right after I dropped out. So me and a couple other creatives, I was just getting into games going all over the place, all over the like DMV area, shooting different high school games. And I met a bunch of creatives, met all kind of people. And a couple of us agreed to start this company. And it was really just like the idea was to start a community for creatives.
Okay.
And to like, you know, that was all.
Define creative for people who don't know.
Like photographers, videographers, people that are doing social media content. Okay. I don't know. I just kind of use creative as a broad term.
Yeah, because you're doing a lot of creating things. Yeah.
You can be like, you're a creative, I would say, and like doing this podcast and stuff like that.
I got you.
So we started this company, and it was just, you know, supposed to be a community. There wasn't really too much of an idea to it. And I was on a trip to Vegas. I had just landed. And actually, no, let me take a step back. We were building this, like, we wanted to do something to, like, build the brand of the company. And we were working with this Leukemia and Lymphoma Society to do, like, a fundraiser. And we were doing an all-star game. Mm-hmm. I had all these connections with high school players all over the DMV area. And I was like, I bet we can get all of them in on a 7-on-7 tournament. And it would be huge. It'd be the craziest thing the area has seen for football. And all these kids were in. They all loved it. And so I'm on a flight to Vegas, and I had a layover in Chicago. And when I landed, I remember checking my phone and seeing that one of the players who was going to play in the game had passed away. His name was Lamar Patterson. He played wide receiver at St. Francis Academy. Mm-hmm. And so after that happened, I was like, damn, like, we can't just cancel the game. But a lot of these kids are still, a lot of these kids are either not going to want to play in it or are going to want to play in it for him. So I was like, what if we like got permission to, like, I had never met this kid, but I was like, what if we got permission to like to play the game in his name, like do something in his honor, raise money for him. So through some of the players that were on his team in the game, I got connected with the coach at St. Francis Academy. His name is Coach Masai. I talked to him on the phone about everything we're trying to do. I'm like, I would love to like play this game in his honor and name it after him. And he's like, let me get in contact with his mom. And he talked to his mom, and his mom loved it, like Lamar's mom. Mm-hmm. So Lamar's mom gave us permission, and we did this whole game. And as soon as it was like, oh, this game's in honor of Lamar, I was getting DMs from every single player in the area. Anybody who could drive there was like, I need to play in this game. I'm like, guys, we don't even have this many shirts.
Yeah.
Like, even we had whole rosters written up and everything. To this day, I don't even know all the people that showed up. Like, people showed up and, like, were just taking shirts and jerseys. I don't even know. Blake, you remember that kid I was talking about earlier that we had a podcast with at St. Francis?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I met him. He wasn't even, like, invited. He wasn't on any of the teams. He just showed up, threw a jersey on, and started playing.
Wow.
But, like, that's how some of those kids were. It was awesome. It was such a great night. I met all those. I met a ton of people out there. I got connected with St. Francis through that. And eventually, I, like, a couple weeks later, maybe a couple months later or something like that, St. Francis was having an Under Armour camp, I want to say. And one of the players, his name is Iffy, who's a cornerback. He's now at Oregon. He DM'd me, and he was like, yo, Bailey, like, I need you to come out to this Under Armour camp. Like, come take pictures for all of us. And at first, I was like, yeah, like, how much can you guys, like, what's your budget? And then eventually, I was like, you know what, whatever. Like, actually, let me just come out. I'll just come do it for free. I was like, so ask your coach if I can do it. Or I was like, let me ask your coach if I can do it. So I texted Coach Masai, like, hey, you think I can come out to this Under Armour camp? Like, one of the players asked me if I can do it, and he just goes, no.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, shit. All right, well, that's it then. Like, 30 minutes later, I got a text back from him, like, actually, yeah, you can come.
Yeah.
If he never decided to text me that day, bro, I never would have worked with him. Like, that one text, I came out, shot their Under Armour camp, and they loved it. Like, the next day, he called me, and he's like, hey, we want you to, like, do all of our media stuff. Just, like, handle all this stuff, help us with our social media and the videos and everything. So I started shooting a documentary with them. And
Road to the Natty?
Yep, that was Road to the Natty.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
We shot that. That was awesome. That season was so much fun. So we shoot this Road to the Natty documentary. Like, I work with them all off season. I'm like, Coach, what if we did, like, a documentary? We're going to do this on YouTube. Road to the Natty, which is literally just the thing that they would say all the time. Like, they're like, we're winning it. But I guess they've been saying it for like 3 years now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Eventually, I still believe in them. Road to the Natty one
day.
But it didn't end up happening. We ended up losing the last game. Undefeated season up until the last game against IMG. We played it here at UMD.
Mm.
Lost. It was terrible. But it was a really cool documentary, honestly, looking back on it. I made the whole thing pretty much on my own.
Yeah.
I was traveling around the country with them. We went to Texas and Ohio, and I don't know if I went anywhere else with them. Like, I almost had a they played a game in Hawaii, and I almost went to Hawaii with them. But I ended up not going because, like, they said they didn't have any extra room. But now, to this day, they'll be like, Bailey, you should have come to Hawaii with us, bro. We had an extra ticket. Like, the trip was awesome. I'm like, you guys don't got to keep reminding me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, after that, actually, like, while I was working with them, I just started working with them, like, just getting into the season, and I found out that the NFL was hiring. So I see this on Instagram, and I'm like, currently my brand's starting to grow. I just got this, like, kind of, not really a job, but, like, kind of just connection with St. Francis, doing their director of media stuff. And I reach out to this NFL job. I'm like, hey, like, I'm in this area. I would love to do this. And I didn't hear anything for a couple weeks. I'm like, man, like, I really wanted that job.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome. And then they posted it again. And it was, like, all the same cities. Like, hey, we're looking to hire in these cities, except Baltimore wasn't there anymore. I'm like, damn, they hired somebody for Baltimore. So I, like, reach out to them. I'm like, what about Baltimore? Like, is that the only one that you guys have hired somebody for? Like, oh, no. She responds finally, like, hey, yeah, we're still looking for somebody there, too. I'm like, I'm in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah, I was close enough to Baltimore, though.
Fair.
So she's like, cool, you free for an interview in 30 minutes? I was like, no, I wasn't. But I was like, yep.
Yeah, I had to make it work.
So I hopped on that interview, and we talked on the interview. Like, I sent them a video that I made. They're like, this is sweet. Talking the interview with them. An hour later after the interview, they called me and gave me the job, and it was the coolest thing ever. And then, like, 2 days later, I got an email. And I guess, like, the MLB had my name because I had just gotten hired by the NFL, and they, like, work hand-in-hand or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the content creating programs work hand-in-hand. But I literally got an email, and it was just, like, the MLB, like, hey, we need to find a new shooter for Baltimore for the rest of the season. You want the job? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll just take that. Why not? So within, like, a week, I got a job with the NFL and the MLB, and it was the craziest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. And how does the recruiting process work in terms of, like, trying to get these type of jobs? Like, is it a type of thing where your resume speaks for itself, or they're also still looking for, like, who you are as a person, things of that nature? Or
honestly,
does it just vary?
I think the reason that I got hired, well, was because of, one, they definitely, like interviewing with me, they definitely thought I was just, like, easy to talk with and would have been easy to work with, and, like, my interview questions. Like, I interviewed well, and I think that's an important thing with any job.
Yeah.
But for this job, I think what stood out to them was my content, honestly. Like,
yeah, like, it's unique.
It was just exactly what they were looking for. Like, my friend, the reason I got the job, his name is Var. He graduated from Frederick, actually.
Okay.
He's still with Washington. He was, like, I had followed him on Instagram forever. He was one of the LCCs in Washington. So I followed him. He's just one of the photographers at my favorite team's stadium, pretty much. Okay. And I never expected to have the same job as him. Like, I didn't expect to be working with him one day.
Yeah.
But he's the reason that I ended up getting into it in the first place. Like, he pretty much was like, hey, I got this guy. Or, like, I think he's pretty talented. You should check him out. And he was telling me everything I need. Like, yeah, just send him a reel of, you know, this content. So I got together my best content of that. And I guess it just stood out to them. So they liked that, and it was what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, I guess I could have put together. I didn't even send them a resume, though. I really sent them. I don't think I did. Maybe I sent them a resume.
Okay.
I sent them a video and something else, but I don't remember if it was a resume or what.
Okay.
But regardless, like, I don't think they really cared about my resume.
Okay.
Like, half the LCC program.
And then let people know what LCC is.
LCC is Live Content Correspondent.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
So that's the NFL Live Content Correspondent program. It's basically just photographer, videographers working for the NFL, like, doing social media content for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when I, like, probably half that program, though, like, half the people working for, there's maybe, like, 100 of us.
Yeah.
I would say maybe half of them have a college degree.
Uh-huh.
And then the other half is, like, 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, high schoolers, like, kids that are just super talented and young and getting into the creative industry and doing really well.
Got you. And just, like, sticking on that topic of, you know, trying to get into the industry, getting opportunities. It seems like just through an act of kindness, you had already, like, built a resume to a certain extent, right? But through that act of kindness, honoring that player, you know, it led to, like, so many different things. But what would you say for somebody who's like, yo, I'm trying to get into, let's just make it simple. Because, I mean, like you said, creative is very broad. But let's just say they want to do photography or, like, videography, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do they land opportunities where, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with chance, and a lot of it just has to do with, like I said, this was, like, an act of kindness. Not saying that that's what got you everything, but, like, that like led to a lot of like exponential growth, right? But like if we're just talking like black and white terms, like what would you say is like something that you could do to like put yourself in positions to do that?
I think I can give two big pieces of advice on that. The first one is that connections are everything. Mm-hmm. Like you never know who you're standing next to.
Yeah.
You just never know. Like I have the craziest story about that. So okay. I was at a St. Francis practice. Mm-hmm. I just, like at this point, I just knew the connections were everything. All I did was I had just gotten this new camera, this one that we're shooting on that's filming you right now.
Yeah.
Super excited to use it. I'm like filming a St. Francis practice and I get this super cool video, like an interception of practice. Me, I'm just like super excited about it. I just want to show somebody. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I go to the first person next to me on the sideline, like, yo, dude, look at this sweet interception video I just got. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, this is awesome. Like, this is exactly what I've been looking for, man. We need this kind of stuff. Like, let me get your number, bro. We can definitely work together. And like, I've heard this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To me, I'm just thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, cool. I'm like, yeah, man, sure, of course. But I'm just thinking, yeah, whatever. So I get his number and then practice goes by, blah, blah, blah. And one of the coaches comes out to me and he's like, oh, man, I got to introduce you to Ian. Like, he's Chase Young's manager.
Okay.
And I'm like, cool. Like, that's sweet. I get to meet Chase Young's manager. And he walks up and it's the guy I showed the video to.
Oh,
and
I'm dang.
Like, we yeah, already met. I already tight. Got his number. Yeah, we dab each other up. And he's like, yeah, that's my guy, man. He showed me this video. It was sweet. We already got each other's contact information. I'm like, Chase Young's manager? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Guy's like the best player on my favorite football team.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was, I think that was right before I got the NFL job, too.
Okay.
But, like, that was how I ended up getting connected with him. A few months later, Ian texts me, or Ian calls me. Like, I'm driving down to Richmond for something, and Ian calls me, and he's like, hey, Chase is having a youth camp in a couple, like, weeks. You want to shoot it? Like, we want you to come out and shoot it.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, Chase's birthday party is in a week. Like, we want you to come shoot videos for it. I'm like, yeah, sweet. I'll go to Chase Young's birthday party and take videos. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Like, all kind of things. It's literally just connections.
Okay.
You literally never know who you're standing next to. So connections are everything is the big one. Just treat everybody with respect. You know, just work with people and do good work. Do, you know, like honorable work, I would say.
Okay.
And the people that you meet, just make sure that you leave a good impression. You know, first impressions are everything. The second thing, the piece of advice is, like, you only can receive as much as you give back.
Okay.
So, like, That game, for example, that I did, like, it was a fundraiser. Like, I wouldn't even say that was everything. Like, people don't even really know, but I drove all over for, like, 2.5 years. I was driving from Frederick to D.C. or Baltimore or Northern Virginia 2 or 3 times a weekend to take pictures and videos of these games, to edit them overnight and get all them up and send out to these players, and I literally never charged players once.
Yeah.
So, like, 2.5 years of, I mean, I probably spent thousands of dollars on gas money.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I can't even imagine like how much, but I was literally just building those connections. Like that's all I cared about. And now to this day, like all those connections are paying off. All those players that are now D1 college players at some of the best schools in the country are about to get drafted to the NFL in literally a week. Like they all remember that. And so I still have all those connections and that's what's way more important to me than the $25 I could have made from the pictures I took at one of their football games once.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I wanted to get into was the financial aspect of especially starting out in terms of everybody has different passions. And I do think that to a certain extent, you do have to balance a little bit of like, yo, am I going overboard to the sense that like, you know, I'm putting myself in a terrible position financially? Or it's like from the situation that I'm like seeing here with you, it's like, yes, maybe like you were, you know, using a lot of money, burning a lot of cash, but it's like, you know that what you're putting in, eventually, whatever opportunity it's going to be, like, it's going to hit. So talk about, I guess, from your point of view, and also we didn't really talk too much about your parents' point of view, like, while this, like, come up is going on. So, you know, you said your dad was like, yeah. When you said you want a job, your dad was like, cool. You know what I'm saying? But, like, speak to me about just that journey of, like, they're seeing you burning cash. I'm sure you're, like, thinking about it, too. Like, yo, I'm doing, it's not even cash, but it's time and stuff like that. And, like, a lot of times you're not seeing a lot of return in the beginning.
Time is the most valuable thing, like, time is more valuable than anything. So, yeah, I've definitely invested into it. I've spent so much on business stuff that it's, I've probably made a profit, I will say. But it's like, whew, still, it's going to take a couple more years
still
before I'm
even.
Like,
yeah.
All right, look at me, everybody, I've really made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I'm working on it. But, you know, it's. Time is more valuable than anything. So that's, like, I will never, I don't really know how to like how to word it all. It's way more valuable with me to be able to like go on a trip. Like last week or 2 weeks ago, me and my brother just drove to Ohio and we saw the solar eclipse in totality, which was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it was like 4.5 hour drive up and a 4.5 hour drive that was 7 hours back. Terrible. But
yeah,
the trip was cool. And like to be able to spend that time with him was way more valuable than like any of the work I could have been doing or like anything, any money I could have made from doing any amount of work or any of that. Like being able to spend time with people or doing things that I enjoy is way better than like, you never realize how valuable that time is because you never realize when tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah, for sure.
So you never realize when like all that, you can't take anything with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah,
you know, you just got to enjoy while you can. And I think that that's the most important thing that people need to realize. Like whether it's, you know, you're working hard to build a business or mm-hmm. to get a job or for your finals or whatever it is, like just enjoy the times and things around you. Even when I got hired by the NFL, they were like, yeah, this is your job and we need you to do these things. But like, this is also really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
when you get on the field,
take a moment, like look around. Like it's pretty cool to be, there's 100,000 people right now.
Yeah.
And you're standing in the middle of all of them and there's fireworks going off. Like everybody wishes they were standing right where you were standing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, also, what was your parents' like viewpoint on like all of this? Like I said, we talked about the college aspect, but as you're, you know, investing all this time and maybe it's not looking like, yo, is this actually going to work out? You're just wasting time.
I think my parents just want me to be happy more than anything. But
okay, that's good.
They definitely like, I've definitely had to like prove to them that the things that I'm doing like are going to work and like show them over time like I'm not crazy. Like I know what I'm talking about with building these businesses or these connections or things and the time I'm putting into it. I think more than anything, they just wanted to see me like actually just put an effort towards anything. And, like,
okay, cool.
Like
cool.
It was more the fact that it was like, okay, like, yeah, you can drop out of school. We don't care if you're going to actually try with something else. Like there's, I think they look at it like, okay, yeah, you can, what's the point of me being in college if I'm going to be sitting there like, when is this class going to be over? Like, I don't really care what this teacher's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then go home and do something that I actually care about when I could just spend the time doing that.
Actually
investing my time into building something that'll be worth, you know, my time and something I care about. So I think that that's what was most important to them.
Gotcha. And you did speak about the connection that you've made. And it seems like the list is, you know, ever growing. But tell me about, you know, some of those relationships that have been like the most meaningful outside of the ones that we've talked about now. And I think something that I noticed when you're talking about like these people actually like, it's not just a transactional thing, like there's an actual like relationship was like small video. I think it was like, who was it? Like Patrick Queen. Yeah. Like, he came behind you. Like,
bro, I love Patrick Queen.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like, I'm thinking like, yo, so like this guy's not just doing his job. It's like, these guys are actually his friends.
Yeah, so that people, you know, don't realize that a lot of these people okay, so I'm in a position that I feel very grateful to be in.
Okay.
I'm around a lot of large name athletes and high profile people and like all kinds of things that are just, I never would have imagined to be around. I remember watching Chase Young get drafted a couple years ago. I never imagined to be like going to his birthday party or like doing things like that. That's just insane.
Yeah.
But like a lot of these people don't realize is like they're also just people.
Exactly.
They're not
exactly,
they don't look at themselves and think, oh, I'm the greatest thing to ever live because I was the 16th overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's cool, congratulations, good for you, man, I'm sure you worked really hard for that.
Yeah.
But like that doesn't make you any different than anybody else, and they all know that. And like I've definitely met and run into players who think like, oh yeah, I'm the shit because but a lot of these guys, like Patrick Queen you just mentioned, Patrick Queen's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is, we talk all the time about anything that's not just football or not just shooting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like he flew me out to Baton Rouge and I shot his player camp, and then like he took me fishing and he made sure I had a place to stay and like took care of me while I was out there, and all kinds of things. Like Chase Young does the same thing, and all these people and players that I meet, like they all do it for a lot more than just themselves and for, you know, the money and fame, and they're all regular people, you know. It's just, it's cool to actually be able to meet them and like get to know them as a regular person too. Yeah. But that's like I said, an important thing. Like that's a connection. Like if I, for example, like Torrey Smith.
Okay.
He's got the 7-on-7 team called Level 82. I went out to LA with them and shot their whole championship game, and he made sure I had a place to stay and pay for my flights and like always made sure I had something to eat. And I talk to Torrey all the time. Torrey will call me like every other week, ask me to help shoot something. It'll always be last minute.
Yeah.
Like, Torrey, how do you expect me to get this done in 4 hours, dude? And sometimes I will, and sometimes I won't. But I don't even remember where I was going with that.
Nah, you straight. You straight.
When I met him, if I was like, oh, yo, dude, you're Torrey Smith, bro. Like, yeah. What are your Super Bowl rings? Like, can I see them? Let's get a picture. Like, can you sign this for me? He would have been like, yeah, he probably would have said, yeah, cool. But then the next time I saw him, he would be like, oh, yeah, that's like a guy that was a huge fan of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
I know what you mean.
I remember being a Torrey Smith fan. I watched him. I remember being in like middle school, or it might have been elementary school. And it's like when his brother passed away, and then he had a crazy game. Like the next game or the next night or something like that. Or like I said, I remember watching Chase Young get drafted. Like, I'm a fan of that. Or I remember watching Chase Young and Patrick Queen get drafted. But it's like, I don't need to like go up to them and be like, yo.
Fanned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
like that. They don't, that's not really what they need to or like care to hear or talk about. And there's nothing wrong with being a fan of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Like when I met RG3, that I was like, dude, you're like my childhood hero. Like, I just want you to know that.
Yeah, that's calm. Yeah.
I was like, if there's one person I ever meet and I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to be a fan, it's going to be RG3. Like, I won't even ask for a picture. I'm just like, yo, thank you for being really good at football for 1 year.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's what I did. And he really appreciated that. He followed me on Instagram and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And that was that. And there was nothing more to it. I didn't have to make it a big deal or anything. But it was like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And there's so many things like that where it's just like, I'm grateful to have the connections that I do. And I wouldn't have the connections with them if they weren't like people that I would want to be around and have in my life.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, and I don't know if you've actually dealt with situations like this, but athletes, let's say hypothetically, or let's say it has happened before, like people that you're working with where it's like maybe just not treating you with respect, things of that nature, but like, low-key, the opportunities in the bag is, like, something that, like, maybe outweighs that. Have you had to go through that?
So, I'm not going
to
name any names.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't drop no names. Don't drop no names.
There was a time where I went on a trip. I'm not going to name any names or places just because I don't
want to. Yeah, I got you. Cool.
I went on a trip somewhere, and we did all this cool stuff. And he wanted to build a YouTube video. He's a football player. He wanted to build a YouTube channel. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I can help you build a YouTube channel. Like, I talked with his agent. We agreed on it's going to be, like, he's going to pay this much a month, and I'm going to help him build his YouTube channel, and he'll pay for my flights to places. So we go on a trip somewhere, and we're doing all this cool stuff. Like, he's getting his car worked on, and so we go to the car shop, and we see all of his cars in there. Like, all these cars that are getting worked on, and the guy's like, yeah, this is Lil Baby's car, and this is all kinds of names. You would be like, what? Yeah. And this is Lil Baby's car? He's like, yeah, these doors are bulletproof. Like, all kinds of crazy things like that. The trip was awesome. Made this really cool video, and then I'm like, yeah, I'll send you an invoice. It'll be this much. And he's like, bro, I'm not paying that. And I'm like, what? Like, we literally had all this agreed on how much you're going to pay for a month. Like, I talked with your agent about that. And he's like, oh, no, like, I pay for your trip and everything. Like, I gave you the experience. I'm like, dude, like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I'm helping you build a YouTube channel, like, so your brand can grow and you can make money off of that. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, actually pay for that. He's like, I did. I paid for the flights and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but that's part of the pay. I'm like,
yeah,
just a whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, made a whole thing out of it. Super disrespectful. Like, he literally said to me, and I think this is still funny to this day, he said, you're still on the come up, bro. Like, you know, I'm trying to help you get your name out there. He's like, I'm trying to help you, like, grow your brand and get your name out there. You're still on the come up. You haven't really made it yet. And, like, at this time, I'm working for the NFL. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I'm doing a pretty good job
for myself. Yeah.
You're the one that's still trying to get drafted.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't gotten drafted to this day.
Fair. No name drops.
No name drops.
Yeah.
What goes around comes around.
Fair. So what was the outcome of that situation, though?
He never paid me.
Yeah.
The video is still up. He'll never take it down.
Yeah.
He has, like, one other YouTube video made after. And he just I don't know. He transferred from the school that he was at.
Yeah.
There must have been like problems there or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speculate or say anything,
Yeah. So then did that situation influence like how you go about developing like, you know, future relationships and things of that nature? Even something as simple as like putting a product out and like, I guess like trying to get paid before like, you know, putting the product out. Like, how does that type of things work?
I definitely need to be smarter about like, I didn't have, okay. So learn from my mistakes. We had like a contract set up. It wasn't signed yet when I had gone on the trip. Okay. It was like, I had sent it to his agent and his agent was like, yep, I'm going to get it taken care of. And I hadn't had any problems with the agent, so I just trusted the word that the agent was going to get it signed. Mm-hmm. I should have been like, no, get it signed, then we'll book everything else.
Okay.
But I was just like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll go on this trip. By the time I get back, you know, like, oh, yeah, here's the signed contract, by the way, and here's your payment for... I kind of just figured that's how it would go because I had worked with athletes before, and it had kind of been like that. Like, Patrick mm-hmm. Queen, I don't think we even signed a contract when I did. But he paid me for his... when I shot his youth camp. He paid for my flights. He paid me, like, just... straight up Venmo'd me for his word. I didn't have to invoice him or anything. Yeah. Just man of his word. We didn't sign any contracts.
Yeah.
He stood on his word. Okay. And like people pay. There's plenty of athletes that have been like that. I mean, I guess I kind of just figured, you know, oh, maybe it'll be like that. And it really, sometimes athletes aren't like that.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, in terms of knowing your worth as well, too, is like, how does that change like over time in the sense where it's like, do you just point to, like, certain things that you've done that, like in your head consciously as well as, like, speaking to a client that says, like, yo, this is why I'm charging you this price?
Honestly, I feel like there should never be a need to explain pricing. Like,
okay.
There's a... Okay, so let me just give you an example.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody comes up to you right now. Like, let's say somebody walked in this room and was like, Will, I've got outside right now a brand new 2024 Ferrari. It's got 10 miles on it. Yeah. Here's the keys to it. I'll give it to you for $10,000.
Yeah.
Bro, you're going to do every single thing that you can to find $10,000 and get that Ferrari. Because that Ferrari is worth way more than $10,000, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
All it is just proving the value of it, of whatever it is. So if somebody really thinks that my pictures or my videos are that good, then they'll pay those prices.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Gotcha. But you just have to prove that your value is like that worth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you get prove that whatever you're... Deliver on what you promise.
Okay.
It's plain and simple. Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, proving your worth, you know, developing your skill set, you've kind of talked about, like, the journey itself from more of a outside point of view, like, what you, know, just see from, you know, the outer perspective. But talk to me about, like, the actual work in terms of the skill sets that you have to develop. And is it something where it's, like, there is a certain extent of you're naturally skilled at it? Or is it like, yo, this is all just hard work, and if you put it in, like, anybody can be doing what you're doing.
Anybody can do anything. People just...
Yeah.
There's so much work that goes into all kinds of things people don't even see. Like, I've had to teach... I've taught myself everything about videography and photography. But then there's, like, marketing and everything about branding and business and owning a business and all the ins and outs of that and all the legal stuff, which I can't even begin to get into. Like, just, like, taxes, for example, were due a week ago or whatever. But for businesses, they're due a month before that. Did you know that business taxes were due a month before personal taxes? Like, who knows that anyways? Yeah.
I mean, I'm an accounting major, so like...
Okay, maybe you... Okay,
yeah. I know what you're saying.
If I went out there and asked one of these people, they'd be like, no.
Yeah,
some of these people probably don't know when their taxes are due.
Nah, yeah, for
sure.
But
it's like
for sure.
All kinds of things that people don't even like begin to imagine going on. Like, or there's the time putting into it, like traveling. Like, I go to all these places, yeah, but... I had to, like, let's say, for example, this football season in St. Francis. We went to Florida, Ohio, Los Angeles. Where else did we go? We went to Florida twice. We went to there was one more. I can't remember where.
Uh-huh.
We traveled 5 places in, like, 5 weeks. Oh, Salt Lake City.
Okay.
In 5 weeks, 5 places, 5 different states, and, like, I would Wednesday, drive an hour to Baltimore, hop on a flight with them at 5 in the morning, fly to wherever, stay with them until Saturday. They'd play Sunday. We'd land or fly home. We'd have Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, I would drive back to Baltimore, get on a flight, and do it again. And I would do that for 5 weeks in a row, filming this documentary for weeks on weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's like that documentary is still like not even fully out yet and like published.
Wow.
but it's like all kinds of things that I've just, the time I put into it and the work that goes into it. It's like, it's not like, yes, I do have a creative eye for it in a way.
Fair.
Like there is a talent and there is an ability to be able to do things, but it's not something that you can't teach yourself.
Yeah.
There's not like, if I decided today, or if you decided today, you know what, I'm gonna, you know what, actually I was thinking about this earlier, bro. Remember in like middle school when we would just like cook everybody and track?
Oh yeah.
And like
yeah,
the
yeah,
mile
yeah.
And gym. Yo, it would literally be me
I'm
and Will.
I'm telling you right now, and like my biggest regret is not just locking in on the track thing earlier. It's my biggest regret, bro.
If we would have just locked
in. Let the streets know.
In like middle school, if Will and I would have just joined a track team and just trained consistently from like sixth grade to senior year of high school. I mean, we did track in high school and it was like,
yeah,
we were
like,
all right.
We just tapped in like
we were above average.
Yeah, but
we weren't, but like if we would have stayed locked in, like we were in middle school, bro, we were running like 3.5 minute miles faster than everybody else.
I'm saying, bro, middle
school. We would be Olympic athletes.
Middle school, like sixth grade, no joke, I was under six already, man. Under
6 minute miles. Going crazy, bro. Yeah. We would be doing 5:45 and 5:55.
I'm saying.
And then
bro.
Everybody else would finish 2.5 minutes late. We could have trained, we would be Olympic athletes today if we were just stuck to that. Like, I don't know, maybe not Olympic athletes.
No,
but
I know
I
what you're
fully
saying.
Guarantee
but I would be at this school.
You and I would be at UMB right now on a scholarship
I'm saying,
on track.
100%.
And like, I fully believe if we would have dedicated ourselves to that, we could do that. Because I fully believe if you dedicate your time to
anything,
you can do it. It's just about actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk all you want about, I'm going to make $1 million and I'm going to do that. Okay. Go make $1 million, though. Like, how are you going to make $1 million? What are you going to do to make $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all the stuff you got to do to build up to that.
Yeah, fair. And that goes, going back to, you dropping out, I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this, but I say this all the time. When it comes to anything that has to do with, like, film, you know, creativity, marketing, things of that nature, like, I'm sorry, you're really wasting your money being in school.
Bro, it's all subjective. You can't teach art.
Yeah.
There's no, like, that's the dumbest. There's like a, you can teach people how to use a camera. Yes, this button is how you record it, and this is how you adjust the this and this. You can't teach somebody how to make a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you think is a good movie might be completely different from what I think is a good movie.
Exactly.
So how are you going to go to school and justify teaching somebody, like, yeah, this is the way you're supposed to dance. This is the way you're supposed to color grade this video, or this is the way you're supposed to edit this photo. Like, no, it's not. You can do it however you want, because that's the best part about all these creatives I've met, like seeing all these different styles that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
I could text 10 different creatives and ask them to shoot the same thing, and all of them would send me a different picture and a different video.
And it can all be tough.
Like, and they would, every single one of them might be like, these are all sweet shit.
Yeah. 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 It's actually crazy because even now, like, for example, I'm in the business school here, and one of the classes you have to take is like a basic marketing class. And it's gotten to the point where I think I was in the last section before now, they're literally like teaching like TikTok and Instagram. And it's like, and you're paying money for this?
Bro.
You see what I'm saying? I was in the last class where they were teaching stuff like the four P's, which is like, I don't know, place, something, something, and something. Like, you know, traditional stuff. But like, I've just learned, and this is even from experience, because I used to actually run theme pages and things like that on Instagram. Like, just do your research, trial and error, things of that nature, and you'll be successful if you just keep at it.
Bro, it's literally, I don't know anything. Well, okay, 6 months ago, I didn't know jack shit about marketing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to build a business selling like digital products to other creatives pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, how am I going to do this? Well, I got to run ads to actually get people to find out about these. How the hell do I run ads? So I had to learn how to do that. I had to completely teach myself Facebook ads, which I remember texting my mom. I'm like, I feel so stupid anytime I start learning something new because I'm doing this and I'm like, how can I not understand this? Like, this guy on the video, it's like the simplest thing. But looking back 6 months now, I'm like, how did I not understand this? Like, what was Bailey looking at that phone and what did he not understand about what that video was saying? Because I've done it now. So It's like, it's literally just putting the time in to learn and being able to like figure things out.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can't, you know, learn on your own or get taught. And bro, I thought somebody just walked by the window and I thought it was somebody from our track team in high school. And I was, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
But
I was like,
yo,
no way.
That would have been crazy. But bro, yeah, people do not know. Like in high school, middle school, bro, if we just really like put like effort into that joint, Like,
we would not be on this podcast. You'd be watching us in the Paris Olympics.
I'll be on a podcast, but I'm the guest. You see what I'm saying?
We got gold medals around our necks. I'm saying, that's what it would be. Like Will and Bailey, how did it feel winning that relay race in Paris at the Olympics? Oh, yes. It was great because we've been training for this since middle school. That's what we could have said.
Yeah. I think some of it even had to do with like the atmosphere we're in, though. Like, I don't really feel like there was there was probably opportunities to do like club track and things of that nature, but like,
yeah, it was like, there's not.
I think there was one team called like Lightning or something, because my sister
was a part of Lightning, cross country for a little while.
Like, atmosphere plays such a big role, because like, I'm seeing just like in other cities, like kids, or the place we grew up, like, the opportunities are probably there, but they don't put it out there, because like, the kids are like getting into things like 5-6 year old, like good professional environments. That was not there for us. And I think some of it, you do have to just get out the mud on your own, but it also helps, like, when you have, like, other people pushing you and things of that nature.
So, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Environment is everything. I mean, I've seen just firsthand, I mean, from going to Linganore High School to working with St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, and just seeing the difference from, like, I wasn't part of the football team in Linganore, but I see how the program works and everything. I mean, it's a school in the middle of a cornfield versus Linganore, or versus St. Francis doesn't even have a field, period. Like, they have to borrow people's fields or rent fields to play at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many, just the difference in, you know, culture and environment and all kinds of things. And it's like that everywhere. Everywhere is just so different. So that really just depends on everything.
And focusing on, just pivot into that, what are those differences when you just talk about, like, high school football? Me, I'm not no junkie, but, like, it's obviously you have a lot of experience just like within that field. What would you say plays a role in like success of programs other than like money and things of that nature? Because Linganore, like in general, like, you would consider that successful football.
Oh yeah, Linganore is definitely, but like, it's crazy to like,
it's not even
level. Like, if Linganore were to play St. Francis, bro, St. Francis is putting up 530 points if they wanted to.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't. They would probably only do like 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when the freshman quarterback and wide receivers and offensive linemen are still in, they're still going to be just murking Linganore High School. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't even be a fun game to watch. But, like, Linganore is still a successful program. I mean, gone to states time and time and time and time again, and we've won states a couple times. And, that happens all over the place. There's a lot of successful programs. I don't know, though. Coaching, for one, is a big thing. Like, Coach Connor is an incredible coach at Linganore.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of... Coach Masai is the St. Francis coach. He does an incredible job. A lot of the coaches, like the DeMatha coach, the reason DeMatha is so good, he's a legendary head coach around here.
Basketball and football. Yeah. And track. I'm not going to...
DeMatha, St. John's, any WCAC schools, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, for private schools, it's different, because, like, private schools can kind of recruit. Like, St. Francis can be like, I wish you can play for
all
St.
you could
Francis.
Have is, what's
but
that
Linganore
program?
Can't do that.
It was like the program that got, you know, Zamari. Zamari?
Zamari, what was it, Snowden?
Yeah. Like, he was at Linganore because of, they got him there through, like, one of them CTC type of joints. That's the best that they can
really?
Do. Yeah. Cause he was supposed to go to Walkersville.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, but, like, going back to what you were saying, like, recruiting is not really an option other than, like, you know, some loophole like that.
Yeah, so, like, Linganore is just good because... I don't know, coaching, and they, like, me and my dad used to talk about this. Linganore football is kind of crazy, because, like, you can look, and it's like, oh, man, how many stars have ever come out of Linganore High School football? Like, true stars.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Havenstein.
That's it.
That's the only one.
Yeah, that's
it. It's literally, but for some reason, every year, Linganore is really, really good at football. Because all it is, it's just a bunch of kids that just like playing
love
football.
Love the game, yeah.
And they have a really good coach.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Plain and simple, they just like playing football and they do well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, okay, so you're not with St. Francis anymore, right?
I'd still love to go out and shoot games with them and stuff all the time. Uh-huh. And I love all the kids and the coaches, but I'm not working with them anymore and, like, continually doing stuff.
Uh-huh.
We've done our documentary series and everything. And
yeah.
Great opportunity. I still got to, you know, build other things. I can't work with one place for life. But St. Francis, that's always family. I always love everybody out there.
So was it after St. Francis, then you NFL?
No, I did them like both at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I was doing... Oh, man. I would do
things. Let him know.
I had a weekend. The first NFL game I ever shot, it was the Ravens-Dolphins game. And that weekend, I also happened to shoot my first college game. It was the Georgia-South Carolina game in South Carolina the day before the Ravens game in Baltimore.
Wow.
And before that, I was supposed to go to Tampa with St. Francis, but I had gotten sick. So it was like I would have gone Wednesday, fly to Tampa, game in Tampa on Thursday, Friday morning, wake up, fly to Columbia, South Carolina, game in South Carolina. Actually, no, I lied. Fly back from Tampa to Baltimore, drive from Baltimore to D.C., get on a plane, fly to Columbia, South Carolina, shoot the game at Columbia, South Carolina, go on the visit with the player I was on the visit on, sleep in South Carolina, wake up at 4 in the morning, fly back to D.C., drive to Baltimore for the Ravens game, shoot the Ravens game in the morning, then go home. Damn. In 3 days.
Damn.
It was like, it was insane. I got to the Ravens. That was the first game I shot, and I get on the field. Once the game starts, my first play was like a 103-yard kickoff return touchdown. They ran right at me, and I was like, no way that all worked out that perfectly.
Yeah. So a lot of work behind the scenes I'm seeing right now in the past, things of that nature. On the NFL topic, I guess a big question I think a lot of people would want to have is, what does that behind the scenes look like in terms of like how you're treated? Because I was watching that little YouTube video and they're just giving you chicken tenders. That's it. But nah, like go into like detail of like, you know, the experience, because obviously you're not doing it now. And like, just tell me what that experience was like outside of like, yo, this is cool. 100,000 people. I'm in a stadium doing X, Y, and Z. But like, what has influenced you to, you know, leave that position for now and like, you know, seek other things? And then we'll obviously get into what those things are too.
I think it's one of the coolest jobs in the world. Like, you're literally getting paid to take videos at an NFL game. You get paid to go to an NFL game, but you don't even need to take videos. Is just a bonus if you like taking videos.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for an NFL game is sweet. It's cool. Like, it's a cool environment. There's a lot like going on though. Like, a lot. There's like, so I worked for the NFL. So I was an NFL content creator. But there would be NFL content creators there. So our team of 3 to 4 people. Then there's the team photographers and videographers and their whole content team, which is another 5-10 people. And then there's the away team photographer, videographer, which is another 5-10 people.
Okay.
And then there's the Washington Post or the Baltimore Sun or Getty Images or AP Images or, I don't know, usually like 20-30 creative photographers or just people on the sidelines in general all the time, sometimes more. And so there's a lot, and it's like it's a like competitive environment, I want to say, especially because a lot of like the older guys, like some of the older guys are super respectful. They help out everybody, treat everybody well. And some of them are like super respected and have been there for a while and like have, oh, this is my seat. And everybody knows that that's Gary's seat. Gary's probably not a photographer. I just said that name.
Yeah.
But if there is a Gary, this story is not about you, by the way. But like, sometimes like those guys are like, oh, I've been here forever and I'm a 45-year-old photographer who's been working at the Ravens for 15 years and sees 21-year-old Bailey and this other 23-year-old photographer get added onto the NFL team and they get more access than I do and I've been working here for 15 years.
Yeah.
And they get a special vest that lets them do like special, lets them go special places that I can't. Like, they like wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like competition, like, oh, these, like, they get mad at us and they would like treat us disrespectfully sometimes, like, oh, you're younger than me, so you don't know as much, or you don't know what you're talking about, because I've been doing this longer than you and I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, okay, buddy, how about you turn on your computer and stop asking me how to turn on your computer?
Yeah. And it's one of them things where it's like, the work speaks for itself, so I don't care how long you've been doing this. I'm looking at my product, I'm looking at your product, they're either the same or I'm even doing better, so
yeah, like, it's like, I got this job for a reason.
Yeah,
you can be mad about it all you want, but... And I'm not saying a lot of them, they all had really impressive work, you know,
they were
in that position for a reason, but it's like, I wasn't walking around talking to them like, oh, guess what? I just got hired by the NFL. I got more access than you, buddy. Check it out. Black vest. Yeah. Bow to me.
Yeah.
And watch out. These are my chicken tenders, not yours. Like, that's not how I was walking around there, but that's like how some of them would walk around there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, none of them would ever say it, but it's, you know,
just you can feel it.
I was shooting a Washington game one time and it was the Eagles game. And I'm standing up, and I just have my phone at the time. So I'm, like, filming this, and touchdown comes in, and then they're celebrating over here. So I, like, walk up a little – or I don't even really walk up. I kind of just, like, move up to film this touchdown over here. And I feel somebody, like, grab the back of my shirt and, like, pull me back. Like, I was in the way of his camera. I'm like, dude. Like,
yeah,
you could be, like, yo, like, tapping you, ask me to move, or just, like, you know, scoot over yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
But you don't need to just grab me and pull me out of the way because you're, like, you're trying to get a shot. Like, we're all trying to get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one here. You don't, like, get more privileged just because you've been here longer than me or something.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like, so things like that all the time.
Yeah. And then, like I said, what was the transition period in terms, well, I guess we're in the transition period right now. What was the reason for, you know, leaving the opportunity and, like, you know, pursuing new ventures? And, like, what are those ventures coming up?
I just feel like I had made, like, all of my, I've made all these connections. Like, okay. I've met all these players. I've met all these creatives and all these kind of, like, say I wanted to get a job with a bigger media company, or say I wanted to work with these players and help them build their brands and do their YouTube channels, or there's all kinds of things that I could do. But it was like, I made those connections and I didn't feel the need to continue doing something where I wasn't going to continue growing. It was like, if okay. If I had the NFL job again next year, sweet, cool job, but I wasn't like taking a step forward anymore. It was just like the same job, and maybe I'd get to watch Washington win a couple more games and wouldn't actually hate going every game and dread watching the Eagles cook them. But like, whatever, I can watch that at home, you know?
Yeah.
If it was like the only thing I hadn't done was shoot the Super Bowl, and if that wasn't going to happen, I didn't need to wait around for it. I'll get to shoot a Super Bowl one day. I'll make it happen. But,
sure.
You know, I just figured I had made all these connections. Let me actually do something with them. Let me build on these connections instead of being one of the people who's just going to keep this job for 10 years and then get out and be like, cool, I just got paid, you know, $6,000 a year to shoot a couple NFL games. It was cool, but, you know, I'm still broke and need to find another job, and I only have this one thing on my resume that, okay. So it's like, you know.
Nah, I feel you. And I guess a topic I would want to hit on is, like, how big of it is it for you personally, like, not wanting to be comfortable? Like, in terms of long-term success or success, like, happening right now. So, like, I can just give an example for me, you know, starting this podcast, the first episode, shout out to my man Jeff and Ivan. When that joint drops, like, it's like, compared to someone, actually, no, let me not hit on the other episodes, but that joint's hard. Like, that one, that's like hard. And, like, I had a lot of people in here, you know, everybody was hyping me up, hyping me up. First thing I'm thinking about is, like, gotta edit this joint, you know, who can I get next, all these type of things. And, like, it may be unhealthy, but, like, how much is that something that you share with that type of mindset, which has also led you to success?
Bro, that, all the time, when it's like, I gotta think of a good one.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to shoot the Penn State whiteout game for the longest time. Like, that was like, oh, that's my dream game. To shoot that would be awesome. I'm not a Penn State fan or anything. That's just the coolest thing in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 120,000 people wearing white, just screaming, drunk as shit.
Yeah.
Going crazy. Crazy environment. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, like, being able to do that. But, like, I'm in that game, and, like, for the first half, I'm, like, taking it in and getting these shots. And the second half, I'm like, okay, how am I going to edit these videos? Like, what am I going to do with this shot? And, like, what's the next video? What can we, like, where am I going to go next? What game am I going to shoot next? Like, it's always like, okay, how can I continue building on this? It's never like, okay, cool, I accomplished it.
Yeah.
Like, cool, I'm done. There's never, literally, if you, like, people that are truly, like, trying to build businesses or build a podcast or whatever it is, there's never, like, you're never going to be just done. Like, there's mm-hmm. always just the next goal. It's never, like, the final goal.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there is one day, but I don't know what that is. Like, my biggest goal is to direct a movie. But once I write and direct a movie, then it's going to be like, sweet, what's my next movie going to be?
Yeah, you're not going to be
satisfied.
It's not
going to be like, cool, I did one movie. Yeah. Now I can just retire and be done with life.
Yeah.
No, I want to direct a movie and win an award this time.
True.
Now I want to direct a movie and win 10 awards.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to direct a movie and do a shot on the moon. Like, whatever. I want to keep improving it, though. I don't want to just, like, there's never, you don't just reach a goal and then it's like, that's it. Boom, you're done.
On the topic of atmosphere, right, we talked about that, like, not too long ago. And that mindset of, you know, I accomplished this, but what's next? How do you, like, develop, like, I guess you're already around, like, people who are already on top of this stuff. But, like, a big thing for me over this past year has been, like, you know, just surrounding myself with people who everybody's on top of this stuff. Even with this podcast, like, the people that I'm bringing on, it's like, now every time I'm doing something, I'm like, yo, what's Jeff doing? What's Bailey doing? What's Dorian doing? You know, and that's what kind of, like, propels me to, you know, do certain things. So, like, talk to me about how you've, like, built that network outside of just, like, network of people that are going to benefit me, but network of people who are actually, like, you know, propelling me to, like, greater heights.
The people you're around is so important. Like, I mean, for just for starters, like, my friend group, like, my close friend group, I have, like, four super close friends, and they all know exactly who they are, and, like, we do, I mean, we don't even do everything together. Sometimes it'll be months when we don't see each other and they'll go to school. And but like that never changes because I've been best friends with them since I was like four. So like it's one of those things where like we all know what each other wants. We all know what we're going for and our goals, and we all push each other towards that. But like it just, the people you're around in general is just really important to like the mindsets and the, you know, things that you're working towards. Like being around the St. Francis kids, for example, they were high school kids and I was around them all the time. I was around them probably every other day for hours, or we'd go on trips and I'd be around them for 6 days in a row or whatever, long periods of time, all the time, entire football seasons, the coaches too. But it's like, these are high school kids, and talking to some of them, I'm like, I wasn't this mature in high school.
Yeah.
Or like, some of the kids I know aren't this mature in high school. It's like all kinds of things. A lot of these kids that are like, and not even just St. Francis kids, but St. Francis is a good example just because they have so much that they have to go through and so much to overcome. And it's like they go through all this stuff and they overcome all this stuff. And it's like they have way, it's like it doesn't sway them at all. It's like, okay, but like I still want to win this national championship, or I still am going to make it to the league. Like I have to, a lot of them have bigger reasons than just make it. I don't want to just make it to the league to make it to the league. Like I have to take care of my mom and pay for the bills and stuff. Or like a lot of them have bigger things. And it's like, it gives you a different perspective for one, where it's like, okay, like some things are bigger than just like, you never know what somebody's going through. You never know like how much like people could be dealing with. And like some things are bigger than, you know, whatever it may be. And some things are, you know, more of a big deal. I don't really know how I'm trying to word that, but I think you know what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But also just being around them, it's like those kids all, they were all like, they all had a goal and they're all like set on that goal. And it's like the only outcome for that goal is it's happening. Like there's no plan B because plan A is happening.
Yeah.
Like that's their mindset. And so being around that is, it's like, it gives you that same kind of fuel where it's like, okay, cool. All these kids are like, I'm going D1 and there's no other option. Yes, and then it's bro. Like, oh, Ohio State offered today. Alabama offered today. Georgia offered today. And it's like, oh, they're getting all their goals, so I got to do something too. Yeah. Like, I've always said I want to get 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, but I posted YouTube videos like once every other month. I'm getting 100,000 subscribers on YouTube this year, yeah. But like, watch how many videos I actually make and do stuff with.
Yeah.
Then it'll be like, oh, well, that's why he got 100,000 subscribers, because he went and actually did it.
Yeah.
I've said it for years now. I've always wanted that silver play button. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I can't do it. If you go look at my YouTube, there's like 7 videos posted in the last 2 years. Like, that's not going to give me 100,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to just do it at some point.
Yeah, 100%. And Bo, one thing FCC was good for was when I was there, because I was there for a bit before I transferred here. And you know Last Chance U on Netflix?
Yeah.
Bro, FCC, their soccer team was like that, bro.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like a bunch of like, you know, D1 athletes with soccer. Also, it's like more of an international thing. If like you have international players, that's even like more like tough.
Yeah.
But like, it was like one of them joints was like, had a bunch of players who were like D1, you know, maybe it's for grades, maybe got in trouble, you know, things of that nature. That's why they were there. And I always say that first year of first year of college was my favorite year, because I was like the only kid, which is like rare for a community college. Like I was one out of like only like 3-4 kids who was actually from Frederick. And like when you're just around like a bunch of people, everyone's like, yo, I'm trying to go pro, X, Y, and Z. Like I'm trying to do this and that. Like, bro, like it just like, it works into everything you do too, because like you're thinking like you're devoting like 5-6 hours of your day to playing soccer and like how you're going to get your grades done. But I had a 4.0. You see what I'm saying? I mean, class was online, so that may have something to do with that. But I still got a 4.0. You see what I'm saying? Like, because like when you have like all these responsibilities and you have things you care about, then the things that like you have to do, you get them done quicker.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro. That was the one only good thing that came from FCC. Other than that, yeah. Cutting people off. I think that's maybe be like one of the last things we touch on.
But
in terms of, you know, cutting people off in terms of the things that you're doing, and I've just noticed like over this year, because I'm really trying to like get into different ventures, including this podcast, you just don't have time to speak to people the same way that you used to be able to.
No. Yeah, it's literally like you talked about earlier, like why I'm not like, I would love to do a podcast, like, but like I've got so much going on. Like to being able to find a time to sit down with people and to do a podcast like consistently with my schedule, that's not happening in my podcast.
Yeah.
I gotta choose one thing, you know, I gotta choose a route, and that's not it.
Yeah. And like, it's one of those things that like you would say, at least for me, I think it just happens naturally, not in a disrespectful way, but like it just happens naturally in terms of like, yo, like the trajectory I'm on, you know, when I have my time, I'm going to speak to you. But it's not going to be the same type of thing where it's like every day we talking, we're on the phone, X, Y, and Z, because, bro, I'm trying to make things happen. And, like, me actually being friends with you, not even that you're a bad influence, it's just hindering from, like, actually making those things happen.
Bro, the only people that I feel the need to keep connected with is people that are family, and, like, I see the need that are family. So, and I consider, like, I use family as a broad word. Like, my four best friends, that's family.
Okay.
And,
like, yeah, those, yeah, for sure.
Like, the St. Francis guys, those are family. Like, mm-hmm. Things like that. Like, people that are actually going to be around that, I make time for those things, and then I make time for people, like, that are going to help me grow, you know, my connections or my business or whatever it may be, my brand. Like, if you're not helping me grow, though, like, what is the point of me spending time being around whatever it may be, or keeping these connections or keeping these people in my life or whatever it may be, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I have people that I talk to and people that I work with, and I consistently work with them because we do good work and they're good to work with and they're good to be around, and we are all going in the same direction. We all have our goals, and we all know that we're going to help each other reach our goals. It's mm-hmm. not like, oh yeah, like I don't, we're not stepping on each other's toes. We're not competing with each other. It's not like pushing, never holding each other back. It's like everybody that's around me is like, we're all moving forward continuously.
Mm-hmm. And working with people, we touched about this off camera a little bit, like in some of the things that you're involved in. How do you go about working with people, not as clients, but like, you know, diving into different ventures? Like, what would be the criteria just in general? Like, yo, me and this person are going to, you know, create a company, produce a project, things of that nature. What goes into like that mindset of like actually pursuing it?
You gotta have the same vision for sure. I mean, at least to a point. Like,
yeah.
You can't just, you know, start a company and then it's like, all right, this guy has one idea for it and this guy has a completely different direction he's trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to agree on things. You got to be able to split up the work equally. You got to be able to, I mean, those are the two biggest things. Communication, being able to agree on a vision and communicating with everything, and, you know, problem solving, and having, making sure that everybody that is part of building whatever it is you're building is actually putting in the time and the work to make it happen. You know?
Is agreeing on a vision hard though? Like, as a creative, because bro, I'm gonna be like honest. I'm someone who's very like hard headed, low key.
Oh, bro.
Like in terms of like, if I'm, well, like the first time I had like everybody in this room, we're trying to like figure out the sound, camera angles, the idea behind the concept. Like, bro, I'm listening to you, but low key, I'm not listening to you. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you mean. No, it's one of those things where I'm like, I had to learn how to, like, I'll get a creative idea and like, okay, I want to make this video and this is how I want to do it. And like, I had to learn how to listen to people and be like, yeah, that's sweet, but what if we did this too in the video? Or what if we changed it this way? Yeah. And for the longest time, I'm like, nah, my idea is like, I got it set. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But after a while, I start listening and you start listening and you're like, oh, you know what? This is kind of sweet if I throw this idea in here, throw this idea in here. So like, it's always good. I think for one, having a team and just working with a team in general is better. Like, I don't remember who said it. There's this like business guy I watch. I can't remember if it was him, but he's like, working with a team, say you work with a group of three people, it's not that you're going to do three times more in the same amount of time. You're going to do 30 times more in the same amount of time because you're all putting in ideas and all building on each other's ideas rather than all building from the ground up individually. So like three people are building something. It's going to build up a lot quicker and it's going to make a lot more sense. You're going to get a lot more done. You can work together and listen to each other's ideas and be willing to incorporate them. But, you know,
yeah. But
it was tough for me too. Like for a while I was just somebody who was like, oh no, we got to do it this way. And
yeah,
and I'm still going to be like, this is how I want to do it. But I've gotten to a point where I can listen to people being like, what if we did it this way? And sometimes I'll listen to it and be like, that's stupid. We're not doing it that way.
Yeah. Cause like you have the experience to back that up too. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they'll be like, yo, let's do this. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I didn't think of that. It's a good idea. Let's actually try that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah. So, like I said, wrapping up, tell me about like what's next in a general point of view. Because like, what I've gained from this conversation is that you're focused, but there's not always necessarily like a point B long term. But like within your day to day, there has to be point A's and point B's because that like, you know, achieves progress. So
yeah, that's the only way, one step at a time, but you got to actually get a step forward every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on building a community right now for like creatives. Like I kind of said, the idea with Sharp Shop when we started it was just a community for creatives, and we did that, and then it was just like, I don't know, for 4 years.
Okay.
Or not even 4 years, I don't know, for however long it's been. And it was like an Instagram page, and we're just posting this, and it was like a all kinds of things. But it's never been a community for creatives, like I said when I made it.
Okay.
So now we're building that. We've got an app and a platform with a community we're hosting, and nationwide we're building this network for all these creatives. And the idea is we get all these creatives in here, and using our skills and our abilities to market and our brand and run ads and get shoots and book shoots for whatever it may be, weddings or senior portraits or prom photos or football games all over the country. And we take those opportunities and we pass them on to these creatives in this network that are trying to make income and make money as a creative. And they're trying to find opportunities and connections that they don't have access to, but I've been able to get access to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically leveraging the brand and the community that I've built and trying to give opportunities to all these other people and help them put money in their pockets.
Mm. And the other thing that I'm aware of is the LUTs and presets that you, I think you just said you recently started excelling like, on your website. What, like, let's say I'm coming and saying like, yo, like, why would I need this? Kind of like sell that to me in terms of like what the benefits are.
So the digital products I sell, mainly LUTs and presets. LUTs and presets are basically just throw on templates for colors of videos or photos. So LUTs are for videos, presets are for photos. Say I snapped a picture in this room and I'm like, let's post on Instagram later to promote it. But I'm like, oh, it doesn't look that great. Let me, you know, edit this a little bit. I can open it in Lightroom or whatever photo editing app you use, import my presets, click that preset, make a few adjustments, boom, the photo looks sweet. Or the same thing with video. Throw it in Adobe Premiere or whatever iMovie, whatever video editing software you use, like this podcast video.
Yeah.
Throw a LUT on there. Boom. Video's looking sweet.
Fair.
But, it, you know, a lot of people just can't figure out how to do that. Like, it's one of those simple things that color grading and editing photos and stuff like that, where, like, some people just need a jump start and some people need help getting started with it. Some people just can't really get their creative mind going or the ideas or whatever it may be. And that's a way to help people get better products or better end products of whatever, all the work they're putting in, all the time they're putting into their photos and videos and stuff.
Got you. So I'll give you that little plug there. And just in general, you know, you want to plug yourself, you know, whether that be, you know, just you personally, Shop, whatever you got going on. And then, yeah, if you got any like little projects you're getting into, you know, that you can kind of like give people like an exclusive one. I know you were telling me you got a draft day party. So, like, yeah, just plug yourself.
I'm about to, I'm doing next week's NFL draft. I'm excited for that. But Blake Corum, the Michigan running back, he texted me. He went to St. Francis Academy, actually. Yeah. So that's how I know him. Yeah. But he reached out to me, and he's like, yo, bro, come film my draft party.
Yeah.
Like, he gave me the wrong date at first, and I'm like, isn't the draft this day? And he's like, no, it's this day. And then he's like, wait, nope, it is this day, you're right. Yeah. Like, clearly he's a little nervous. That's okay.
Yeah,
but that'll be sweet. I'm shooting a draft party. Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to get 100,000 subscribers on YouTube this year, so go sub to my YouTube. I'm about to post a video of that solar eclipse last week.
Okay. So we're going to be seeing like a lot of content.
Oh, yeah, a lot of content. I'm about to travel, do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Got you. And then Instagram, anything else?
At Bailey Spore everywhere.
Yes, sir. All right, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. And I appreciate y'all tuning in. Your Choice Pod, you can find out on Instagram. I'm pretty sure the TikTok is locked down by the time this all comes out. Yeah, other than that, I think we cut it there.
Yeah, bro.
That was tough. Hell appreciate you.
Of course, man.
Yes, sir.